Bang, bang, bang.
It is the Drive with Tane Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Lante, Kyle Tosk.
Well done with Coach Roberts, man. That was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, I was excited about that one. Excited about this one, too.
Heck yeah.
Hopping back on the Tapman's Towing phone line, bringing in current Illini basketball assistant Chester Frazier. Chester, how you doing? Thanks for joining the show.
I'm doing well, man. How you guys doing?
We are doing great. I got to ask it right off the bat. You've been asked 100,000 times, Chester, but it came to me again today, and I looked at Pipes. I'm like, I got to ask him, when you did the infamous bump on Eric Gordon, did you say anything to him? Were there any words, or was the bump enough?
the bump was enough. You know, people make a big deal out of that, man. You know what? I did everybody like that year. His was a little bit extra, but I kind of gave everybody that.
The bump said 1,000 words.
Yes.
You didn't bump him too hard because obviously he's still playing.
Yeah, I know, right? Damn, I watched him last night. He was playing well, too.
How are things going, Chester, just personally? Is everything – I know you're ready for basketball to start going, but everything else all in good place?
Yeah, I like where we're at, man. We're doing well. Getting ready for Sunday, man.
Let's go.
On that note, what are you looking for in this type of exhibition game? You guys had the close scrimmage against them last year. Of course, more eyeballs on this one. I know we're excited about that. Coaches, I think, sometimes like that controlled environment. But what are you looking for out of the squad and just the opportunity to play the top-ranked team in the country?
Well, just how well we handle some adversity. We haven't really, we haven't faced any adversity yet as a group. Obviously leading up from Spain and then playing Ottawa. We haven't hit any adversity, man. So I'm looking forward to seeing us play against somebody, that's gonna really give us a real test and a challenge with some legit size and athleticism. And then we'll learn a little bit about ourselves, man. Just starting to put combinations together, seeing what guys fit and what certain guys can do in hostile situations.
I know a lot of people coming off of Friday talking about Marcus Damask. My good friend Lante knows all about him, being a former Saluki. But what did you see out of Marcus? What have you seen out of him this fall? It looks like a piece that obviously versatile, good passer that can really help you.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus is, obviously has a ton of experience, man. Older guy, he's seen a lot of basketball plays and. You can't speed him up. I mean, he's seen a lot of plays. He knows what he's doing out there. Like you said, he's very versatile. He can play him anywhere in the backcourt. Kind of play a 1-4 type of guy. Really, really good piece for us because he can make shots and he can also pass and handle the basketball.
On the heels of that, Chester, with regards to the experience that you mentioned with Marcus Damask, you now have a team that is loaded with veterans, loaded with experience. Obviously, you had more youth last year, one of the youngest teams in college. Now you're one of the older teams. What is that like to coach? I mean, is it just that apparent when those guys get together to practice that it's like, yeah, these guys have been doing this a long time?
Yeah, I think the blend of our experienced guys. I mean, we talk about Quincy Gary has been in college 5 years. Terrence Shannon, 5 years. Domas, 5 years. Justin Harmon, 5 years.
Wow.
You've got a lot of guys. Luke Goody, third year. Coleman Hawkins in his fourth year. You have a ton of guys, that have been through the ringer. Even you count Dane Danger. He sat out at Baylor, played a half a year, came in with us.
Right.
So he's in his fourth year of college basketball. So, our guys are, like you said, we've got an experienced group. And, that's what you look for, to bring those young guys along, to have those veterans in the locker room that can show them the way.
Sure.
And then, at some point, clip their wings and they'll be ready to fly as well.
Absolutely. Chester Frazier, our guest here on the Tapman's Towing phone line. I want to ask you this because I told Pipes I would have sleepless nights, not because of the roster of what you guys have in terms of being bad. It is stinking good. And we're talking good 1-11 or more. How in the world are you guys going to figure this out as to when everybody should play?
Well, you know what, man? The whole goal of this thing is to win basketball games. We have a ton of guys who you know, who have earned the right to play.
Right.
And like I said, games like tomorrow will show you, you know, the cream will rise to the top. It's competition, man. So, you know, guys, you know, you got to play hard. You can't make mistakes. Well, that next guy next to your left and your right is going to be nipping at your minutes, man. So, you know, you know, we haven't had to deal with, you know, the entitlement or the attitude. So, you know, I think it breeds competition, man. We have, like you said, we have 12 guys that can all go in a game. As a head coach, I'm pretty sure that's hard, you know, to look at and say, well, how I'm gonna, it's 200 minutes, man. How I'm going to divvy these minutes up to keep everybody happy. But at the end of the day, man, like I said, it's not about people's feelings at this point. It's about winning ball games and how do you impact winning. And it may not be scoring. That may be something different, you know, or it may be scoring. It may be rebounding. It may be whatever the team needs this game. Because it could be different for every guy in certain games. You know, you may say, okay, well, I need somebody to guard. I may need somebody to make shots. And that could be a different guy. So the luxury is that you do have those pieces. The biggest piece is that, you know, guys are going to have to sacrifice.
Yeah, great answer.
Chester, I'm sure you know everybody out there wants to talk about point guard and how you seeing Ty Rogers come into that position and you being someone that's been in those shoes before, how maybe can your experiences help him? And what do you think the steps are in terms of climbing the ladder to be the type of point guard that you guys want him to be?
Well, the thing about it is we use that term so, you know, matter of fact, he's a basketball player. Ty's a basketball player. You know, you don't want to put too much on him. You know, this is his first full-time, you know, rodeo in college basketball playing point guard. So there's going to be some bumps in the road for him, man. We got to realize that, and we learn to pick him up when he's down and also ride him when he's playing well, man. So I think, you know, you're looking at a kid who physically could be imposing at that position. You know, obviously with his physical abilities to get in the paint, get 2 feet in the paint, could also post some smaller guards. And now he's just talking about managing the game and making good decisions with the basketball. So you pair that with the winning attributes he has. He's a rebounder. He's a willing defender. Now you're cooking with gas. So, you know, we're not asking him to come down and make every play. He'll grow into that. But, you know, we're asking him to take care of the basketball, get us in our stuff, defend, rebound, and the rest of his stuff, you know, rest of his game will shine through if he does those things.
At that position, you'll see an all-league guy on the other side on Sunday in Dewan Harris. He was the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. What challenge can he present, and just how much is that going to be maybe a growth opportunity for Ty, or if Nico's out there, Draven, and just getting a chance to see someone that is a pretty high-level player at that position?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you talk about a guy who's won a lot of games at the college level. I mean, the kid, you know, he's not even a 10-point-a-game scorer, but he impacts winning at such a high level, man. You know, it'll be a challenge, like I said, because he's run a team for 3 years or whatever, however long he's been in college. He's a really good basketball player. I think it'll be good for Ty because he's gonna defend Ty. He's gonna be sticky on the ball. He's handsy. He gets a lot of steals. He also dictates tempo and pace. So, you know, it'll be good. I mean, you talk about a consummate college point guard. He's it, you know. So I think it'll be fun to see our guys step up and guard him and challenge him. And then, you know, on the other end, he's got to come down and guard our guys too. So I look at it both ways.
Chester, maybe bigger picture just on Kansas and Bill Self, a team and a coach you've battled plenty of years there when you were at Kansas State there in the Big 12. What kind of comes to mind when you think about a Bill Self team and what those have been through the years?
Flashback. no, they're going to play hard. They're going to compete, man. You know what you're getting out of a Bill Self basketball. The years at K-State when I thought they were down, they end up winning the league. So, the staple and what they do, they rebound the basketball. They're going to play extremely fast on the offensive end. So they manufacture easy baskets in transition. You know, in the half court, they're very disciplined. They run their sets with pace. A lot of dribble drive concepts, ball screens. You know, and obviously now getting back to having an elite center. I expect to see his infamous two game, which is, you know, high low post up basketball with Hunter. So, this team won't shoot it like he's had in years past, but I guarantee you they'll play hard, rebound, and do all those little things that he's accustomed for Kansas basketball team to do.
Just a few more with Chester Frazier. My guy Derek Piper knows that I love nothing more in sports than rebounding. And when a team can rebound, I'm all about it. I think it leads to victories. I feel like this Illinois team should dominate on the boards. I mean, from Imani Hansberry up, it seems like this team ought to be able to rebound at a high level. How important is that? I know that's kind of a dumb, pretty simplified question, but how important is it when you know going into games that you can control that stat line the best in terms of rebounding?
Yeah, I mean, we have positional size at a lot of spots, and we have proven rebounds. Quincy Guerrier at Syracuse was a 7-8 rebounding game guy. Dane Danger can rebound the basketball. Imani Hansberry is an elite rebounder. You know, we have Ty Rogers, who's a proven rebounder. So
right.
We have guys out there that are proven rebounders. And then I think our guards and wings will also mix it up and rebound the basketball. So that's the last assignment on defense. So you get a stop, you got to finish it with a rebound. That's assuring to know that we're going to get these guys to play really hard. And when the ball goes up in the air, we have a better chance to get it than the other team. And that's refreshing.
Perfect.
Chester, Justin Harmon, to touch on him a little bit more, maybe a lesser known guy in terms of the transfers, Gary A playing at the high major level for 4 years, Damask, people that, you know, has been within the state, getting more familiar with him. What are you expecting out of Justin, and what role can he step into for you guys this year?
Well, you saw in the scrimmage, man, he can make open shots. He's also a guy that can get downhill with the basketball. He's strong physically. So he can guard multiple positions. You know, and he's an older guy. Like I said, man, he scored real college baskets. So, you know, I think he's a guy that can provide some scoring punch, some defense. You know, he's a tough kid. He's, you know, obviously, you know, being a Chicago kid, he's a tough kid. So, and he's a vet. You know, he's done this before. So we're expecting big things out of Justin. I think he's a really good downhill basketball player. And it's not always with speed. He's really strong, man. That kid, he gets in a straight line and you get on his hip. He ain't letting you back in front. So, you know, you guys know what you're going to get out of Terrence Shannon and, you know, Coleman and some of these other guys. But he's a guy that can, you know, really efficiently score the basketball.
Chester, last one for you. Is Cam tearing you up in the pop shot over at the house?
No, not quite, man. You know, little fella's got a ways to go before he can beat me, but he does have his he is playing his first game this season at the YMCA tomorrow. So,
nice.
Hopefully I get there in the morning and I get ready for practice after that.
There you go. We'll let you go. Gear up for that one. Best of luck.
Hey, real quick, yeah, Chester, as a father who has a son that graduated college and one that's in high school, you are about ready to have the best time of your life watching that little guy go.
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to his journey, man. I appreciate it. It's definitely not easy because he's getting to the age where he asks a ton of questions. He watches film with me, and he wants to know everything. So it can get annoying at times, but he's my boy, and he loves the game, so...
Love
he's been
it.
Around it, man. I bring him to practice sometimes, so it's all fun, man. He's soaking it all in.
I love it.
Chester, best of luck to Cam tomorrow. I don't think he'll need it. And then on Sunday, can't wait to see the action that's going to take place at the State Farm Center. Thanks for taking the time out, and look forward to seeing you on Sunday, man.
Yes, sir. Let's do it, man. I appreciate you guys.
All right,
thank
buddy. You, Chester.
Thank you.
Chester Frazier on the
awesome.
Tapman's Towing phone line.
You know the best part of that interview? Was the laugh, the Chester Frazier laugh came out. And I don't remember exactly what he was talking about, but it was like that, ha, or something. I'm like, yes, that's awesome.
I had to hit him with that one at the end.
That was great, man. That was awesome.
If you follow him, especially on Instagram, he always posts pictures of, or videos of his son Cam.
The Cam man.
Going through some, whether it's shooting on a real hoop or he's got a little like pop shot thing maybe in the basement now. And
yeah,
Chester does not take it easy on him. He's even posted some videos of beating him and like Cam has got some tears in his eyes. Having that as your dad, man, that's Chester is so competitive, but also obviously a great knowledge of the game and That I'm glad you said that, obviously, and I'm hoping to experience that here going forward in the years with my son.
You guys but, see me. I mean,
yeah,
I'm counting down the days to basketballs, you know, and I'm just – it's just unbelievable. I told somebody the other day because we're – you know, we're Andrew played golf, and then now we're in this little lull for a month before basketball kicks off, you know, around Thanksgiving. Obviously, they'll have practice starting the 6th, but it is this lull that – makes me think there's no way I'm going to be able to do this in 2 years. When Andrew graduates, I hope, like, you don't know, I hope that he plays college something, because otherwise I am going to be so bored and not have anything to do and nor have anything to look forward to than that. And by the way, my last thing, I want to apologize to my boys, because while I had them in the basement in Philo shooting on a little Nerf hoop, I couldn't take him like Chester does to the State Farm Center and just say, hey, kids, this is your playground today. Right. Cam, go have fun in the State Farm Center. It's like, oh,
yep.
I wasn't able to provide that.
Yeah,
that's a pretty
nice benefit.
It's a nice luxury. You need to get Cade with Cam. How old's Cam? He's got to be, what,
question.
6?
Yeah.
I mean, he'd probably be like if they're playing games, yeah. Yeah,
I know Cade's taller than most 3-year-olds, even though he's 1.5.
Yeah,
but that's a little too advanced.
Well, and you know Chester Frazier's son's not going to take it easy on your son.
No. So he might even chest bump him.
Right.
I don't know if my kid's got that good enough balance.
Cade's like, what the?
He's got long limbs. You know, he can run just fine. He might be knocked on his butt.
He just looks at you with these tears in his eyes. You're like, okay, sorry about that, Cade. I didn't know he was going to do that. Yeah, you did.
I should have seen that coming a mile away.
That's awesome. Good stuff with Chester.
Fun.
I'm excited.
Yep.
Excited to have him as part of this program as well. And
oh,
you know, it is that deal where we talk about how you mentioned, like, when Bill Self got to Kansas and he had a couple rocky starts, you know, in NCAA play and everything. But as he was elevating and Kansas was winning national championships, is exactly as Illinois was going the other direction. And that, you said perfectly in the first hour, how that really was the part that just fed the anger, right?
Yes.
I mean, initially we were shocked with Bill Self leaving. We were mad. You feel betrayed. You feel like you're not worthy, right? Like, oh, so you can't coach here when you're obviously having a lot of success. And then for that to happen, then it just made it even more frustrating, right? But it's nice that, and then of course with the gross years that didn't materialize to anything, and then now with Brad Underwood, and I understand totally that Brad shouldn't be off the hook yet because he's got work to do and we all know when, but to be back to where Illinois is thought of as a top of the Big Ten team, a team that is going to win 20 games, essentially a team that can battle a schedule that is about to be in front of them, which has got, I haven't looked, I don't know the analytics and all this, but it has to be one of the top 10 toughest schedules in the country. I can't imagine that others would have that hard of a non-conference schedule with Marquette, even throwing Kansas in as an exhibition game. So it's nice to know that you're back playing with the big boys. Now, there's still got to be some rewards at the end. We understand that.
Of course.
But certainly, to be back at least to where you're can have some hopes of a season, because there was a long time there, what, 10 years we didn't go to a, was it 10 years they didn't go to an NCAA tournament?
It felt like, yeah, I think
it
ended up
10.
Being
six
or seven.
It felt like 38. I can't tell you how lonely that feeling was on Selection Sunday when your team isn't in it. And you sit down and, you know, we're going to break down the seeds, and you're like, well, I have no interest because my team's not going to be there. That's hard. That was hard. Let's don't do that again.
I would say for sure. And as things stand right now, Illinois is in a position where it won't be a long drought for an NCAA tournament. And that really, they should stack the consistency of making the tournament pretty much each and every year. And Brad has an opportunity to do that this year. And I mean, with the portal, it makes it does easier to reload, and obviously they've taken advantage of that. So the program's in a good position, and to get back, of course, is another level, which would be early to mid 2000s, the 80s,
yep,
type of deal. But as far as the progression. It's been a positive thing for Illinois. And, hey, they show well on Sunday. If they were to beat number one Kansas, I know it doesn't count. It would give people a lot of confidence that this could be the breakthrough year in terms of the tournament. A lot of basketball still to be played, but that would show you could play with anybody.
I give Kyle assignments all the time. I've got one for you. You know, sometimes you'll click on, let's say, Yahoo or ESPN, and there's like a 20-page article that dives into something. I want a 20-page article from Derek Piper on the basement and the decision.
I want to write a book on it, too. I want it to be part of a book.
And if you didn't hear the interview with Norm
Roberts.
We got
to talk about that.
Yes.
I want to talk more about that.
Which we can take a break and come back. Yep. I know we're going to hear from Brad Underwood, not live, but he met with the media. But if you, first of all, if you did not get a chance to listen to the Norm Roberts interview that Derek did with him earlier today, I will honestly say this. It is either the or one of the best interviews I've ever heard. So you make sure you have, and I've listened to a lot of interviews sitting right here in the seat. So make sure you go back and podcast that and listen to that interview. But in it, Norm Roberts, you asked Norm about the grueling, you know, like the decision essentially to go to Kansas. And what he talked about was it was like a 6-hour process of just continuously changing their minds. Like, we're staying at Illinois. Now we're going. We're going to Kansas. And you got to believe that. I don't think Norm's going to sit there and lie about something like that. He's not going to make that up. So, and there was a lot of reasons for Bill to stay. I mean, just start naming the kids on that team.
Exactly.
And who was coming. I mean, there are tons of reasons for Bill and that staff to stay here, but
I'm not saying that part of that interview isn't a little painful.
Oh, it is.
For Atlanta fans to hear, but it's telling, and I think a lot of the details in there are pretty.
How many times did I tell you to turn it off?
I know you did.
I was like, turn it off right now. I don't want to hear this.
I know we're having issues with, number one, I should have mentioned this earlier in the week. Because of our system, we're not able to replay our first hour from 5 to 6.
So yes.
If you've been looking for that, say you get off work at some time between 4 and 5, and you're like, okay, I'll hear the first hour from 5 to 6. Right now, we're not able to play that.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stay and play the Norm Roberts interview again at 5:05 in case you missed that, just for the people getting off work then or now to get a chance to hear it. So we're going to do that.
He was incredible. At first, I'm like, I'd love to hear from Bill Self. I'd love for us to talk to Coach. Don't get me wrong. Now that I've heard that interview with Norm Roberts, I think I would have rather just have Norm. Because Bill's not going to go into that much depth, I don't think. Now, maybe he would. Maybe one day when he retires. There was Norm Roberts, Billy Gillespie. Who was the other assistant?
It ended up becoming Wayne McLean,
yeah,
but I don't
but
think it was
that,
the first year.
It was a blonde dude, and I cannot think of his name. He was a blonde-haired guy, kind of fit. I just can't. I can't think
of
his
name. And then at one point, I think after, I was talking about this with Derek Burson over there at Oven today. Was it after Gillespie left that then Tim Jankovich came in as an assistant?
Right.
And of course, he ended up being a coach at ISU.
Yes.
And then SMU at one point.
Yep, that's right. Tim Jankovich.
Oh, Rob Judson.
Well, Rob Judson, that's right.
This is Wikipedia, which,
got it.
Take it for what it's worth. Bill Self is the head coach, assistants Rob Judson, Norm Roberts, Billy Gillespie.
Okay. Then it's not Rob I'm thinking about. Maybe that was there must have been, okay, this guy must have been like the fifth coach. Does that make sense? I just can't think of his name. Mike Shepard. That's it, Mike.
Okay.
Mike Hagan. Good call, Mike.
Mike Shepard.
Mike knows everything. Mike and Mike. Mike Shepard. That's exactly who it was. Nice guy. Really nice guy. And I always used to look at him, and I'm like, boy, you're riding some really good coattails. Really good coattails, Coach. And he would laugh.
That was the good staff that Self had, man. I had forgotten.
Oh, he was with Lon. That's who it was. Okay, thank you, Mike. I'm sorry. He was with Lon Kruger. My bad.
Now, I know Gillespie didn't pan out at Kentucky and had his own issues, but to be a really good recruiter and assistant, that was obviously something he thrived at. Norm Roberts, I actually had forgotten that he was the head coach at St. John's for 6 years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the one time he broke away. I mean, think about that. Billy Gillespie was the head coach at Kentucky.
I know.
Kentucky.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. I think the stress got to him there. And we understand he had some demons, obviously, and
yep.
He's worked on those and I think continues.
Yep.
To work on those. He's coaching now at a small school in Texas, I believe.
I think that's right. Yep.
I think the next thing we do is get Coach Gillespie on.
Just
and keep the stories rolling.
Let's do the reunion tour.
Let's go.
I'll compile all the interviews, and then I'll have a book that comes out in 2025.
I said I want Villanueva on, and I looked at Twitter, and his DMs are open.
Yeah. Kyle's already locked him up.
Charlie Lon, good to see you again. No, I never met him.
Yeah.
Shoot.
Say you owned, you're a part owner in O'Charlie's.
That story.
That's how you should intro the DM. Hey, Charlie, I'm part owner of O'Charlie's here in Champaign.
I was the one that paid for the plane. So, wondering if you could at least do an interview with us since I had to pony up.
You didn't actually play basketball for the Illini.
I had to pony up a lot of money for that plane.
Yep.
That is so funny.
That was good stuff. All right, we got to catch a break. On the other side, we'll talk a little bit about that decision, and then we'll get to Brad Underwood, who spoke to the media earlier today. If you want to weigh in, you can. 217-359-2255 on the U of I Illini Link text line. This is The Drive.
As a legacy founded in 1958 by aviation pioneer Rudy Frasca with a mission of improving safety in the skies. Over 60 years later, Frasca is committed to providing the best simulation equipment available with superior quality and a personal approach to service and support. Would you like to make a difference in your job? Frasca is looking for an accountant, a CNC machinist, manufacturing and electrical engineer, electronics design associate, and customer service support. Positions for software, aeronautical, mechanical engineer, and machine shop finisher are also available. Positions include an extraordinary benefits package. The perfect fit will enjoy full-time benefits with paid time off, holidays, a 401k, and a Monday through Friday schedule. For details, call 217-344-9200. As an equal opportunity employer, you can learn more about the application process at frasca.com/careers.
Urbana's Market at the Square has been cultivating a vibrant scene in CU since 1979. Get to know your farmers bringing locally harvested honey, crafts, jewelry, art, fresh cut flowers, plus produce including fresh leafy greens and root vegetables, fresh baked treats, and a wide selection of proteins. Going on now, every Saturday, 7 a.m. till noon, rain or shine at Illinois and Vine, it's Urbana Market at the Square. Find Urbana Market on Facebook or urbanamarket.org.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience, several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
Escape to the country at Curtis Orchard in Southwest Champaign as the kids enjoy the playground and the petting zoo and the country store at Curtis Orchard featuring delicious apple cider, apple crisp donuts and pies, your favorite comfort foods made from scratch at the Flying Monkey Cafe. Come visit Curtis Orchard. Open now Monday through Saturday, 9 to 6, and on Sundays, 11 to 6. 3902 South Duncan Road in Champaign. At CurtisOrchard.com.
Always a pleasure to talk about Donnie up at Long Branch Steakhouse here in beautiful downtown Gifford. Well, you know what, friends? It's never too early to make your Christmas party reservations at the Long Branch Steakhouse in Gifford. They are taking party reservations for December. Two nights already gone. Don't be left out this year. If you want a fabulous night at the Long Branch for your office party, get it done now. Connect with the Long Branch Steakhouse and book your Christmas party. Long Branch Steakhouse, beautiful downtown Gifford. Hi, it's Stevie J. So I took my mom into Audubel, owned by Jeff Hanley, who owns 13 locations around Central Illinois. She's had so much trouble hearing for so long. Audubel. Audibel for hearing. And some of the new technologies, they've got AI now for some of these hearing aids, and they're virtually invisible. It's unbelievable, and it helped my mom. It helped her incredibly. We've been to other places. This is by far the best place I've ever been in for hearing help. Go to audibelteam.com. That's Audibel. If you want more information about Audubel and how Jeff Hanley and his amazing culture and amazing team that they have, go to audibelteam.com. audibleteam.com. That's AUDIBEL, audibleteam.com. You'll be so happy you found Audible. Amazing work. They got a location in Champaign. Go to audibleteam.com. That's audibleteam.com.
Say goodbye to redness and hello to happy skin. Merle Norman's new Red Correct Treatment Primer is a science-based color care formula containing over 20 corrective ingredients that help calm and soothe sensitive skin. This is a multi-purpose facial primer that turns from green to beige when massaged into skin. Use it to help color correct red areas, decrease sensitivity, and prep skin for makeup application. Shop Red Correct Treatment Primer now at Merle Norman, 706 West Marketview Drive in Champaign.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 435120.
If you need a new business sign or signage for your golf outing, we can do it and help you get noticed. Hi, this is Kirk Lehman, owner of Aftershock Decals and Design, and we can produce any kind of signage you want with our graphic design team. You want a custom design? We are here for you, and we are easy to work with, I promise. So visit us at AftershockDD.com to get a quote and get noticed. That's AftershockDD.com. Get noticed.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Lante is teaching me baseball history during the break.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just continue that conversation on the air.
David Freeze.
I can hear that. That would be the millionth and one.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. Million first time I've heard it. I get chills every time.
Every time.
Every single time.
Tom Ackerman, our buddy from KMOX, if you follow him on Twitter, his phone's just staring at a piece of equipment at KMOX that's playing the Mike Shannon call on the Freeze triple, that tied the game, then the Berkman single that tied the game, and then the Freeze home run that sent us to game seven. Of course, the Cardinals win. 5-2, I think, in the World Series Game 7. But the reason he said that, you didn't realize, that's to get to our point, is Jack Buck, who was my mentor, my hero, in an earlier World Series, when he was calling the World Series, Kirby Puckett homered in Minneapolis, and Jack Buck said, "We will see you tomorrow night." So then Joe said that with David Freeze, and it was just added to the moment,
that's
right?
That's awesome.
I mean, I know that they have to be professional and not pull for a certain team, but the fact that the Bucks are from St. Louis and that happened, and yeah, really cool.
And we get World Series Game 1 tonight.
That's it. Let's go. I'm actually excited to see that. I've got it taped. We're going to a movie tonight. So does that sound exciting?
What movie?
We're going to go see. There's one about people that have passed away and then they come back to life, or then they come back, or however you want to say that. Like they're dead for a bit, and then they come back, and they share their stories about certain things that – have you ever read any of that? Have you ever studied up on stuff? I mean, it's amazing, the people that have that experience. And I would like to think that they're telling the truth, because every one of them says it, but they're like the – they'll say, "I didn't want to come back." Like it was a feeling of just overjoy. Like one lady was like, "I heard music, the prettiest music I've ever heard in my life." One guy was like, I the first thing I saw was my grandpa, you know, saying, "Come here," you know, and I don't know. It's just, I have to believe that it's true. Wow. And you know, that you hope that when someone does pass away, that there's that next great place, you know, the ultimate place. So yeah. I've always said, if I could script my entrance into heaven, I mean, the good
Lord's,
a
walk-up song?
The good Lord's going to have a big list. He's going to be, "Hold on, Lon. Before you walk in, my man, we got to chat about some things." But I would love more than anything to see every one of my pets.
Yeah.
Just all my dogs sitting right there going, let's go. Let's go play. I mean, I would be like, yes. Not that I don't want to see my dad, my brother, and my grandparents and such, but, you know, it's, and of course, mom's still alive, so that's why I didn't mention her there.
Of course.
But if I could go up there and see Babe and Sadie and Griff, I mean, it would just be, I would be in absolute heaven.
Literally,
this
yeah.
is how bad I am with dogs, and then we're going on to talk about. Yesterday in Marshall, I appreciate you guys filling in for me because I had some stuff to do. A guy was turning in front of me at a stoplight, and he had a German Shorthair, which was what Sadie was, in the back, and she had her, she or he had a, the head out the window, and the ears were just flopping, and I just started laughing. I almost started crying. I'm like, that's got to be Sadie saying hi to me. So I get emotional when I talk about dogs. I love dogs, man. Love dogs. Spell God backwards.
Yep.
It's the greatest creation. I tell my kids, you're not.
Movie doesn't sound bad, man. I haven't been in theater in a while.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I haven't
popcorn.
Either.
I know you're getting the milk duds.
Oh, popcorn.
Somewhere, I think our phone line just lit up because Joey Wagner's here to grill us about our candy choices. I even went home. That was at Pia's, right? We were talking about that?
Yes.
I went home that night, and I like timidly asked my wife, I was like, is a Milky Way a bad candy?
No.
Is it a bad candy bar?
Wagner was, he was out of line on that.
I thought so.
He was out of line.
She's like, it's okay. And I was like, what is wrong with people? I love Milky Way.
I do too. I like a Milky Way. It's a different kind of taste than a Snickers. And
I mean, don't get me wrong. Snickers is
the candy
not everything
bar that
you want.
I don't mind, but it would not ever be my first choice is the Three Musketeer. I'm not a big fan of that.
I agree.
But like a Butterfinger is a good candy on occasion. Snickers is just incredible. And I love 100 Grand bars. I love that Nestle Crunch kind of, you know, in there. Oh, man.
But yeah, Wagner dogged on my Milky Way
totally
and your
did.
Milk duds. I also like milk
Gee
duds.
Gee, Wagner. I brought like
love you, Joey.
I brought like a 3X shirt to wear in because after I eat popcorn, drink my, you know, soda or pop, I call it, and eat my milk duds, there's no way I'm not walking out of there gaining 6 pounds tonight. But so be it. I can work that off tomorrow. I don't know what I'll be doing tomorrow, but I probably won't be working that off.
Watching college football.
Right.
All right. Two spinoff topics. I know that we got to get to Brad Underwood at some point here. I want to play that as you gear up. The final, you know, intro for Illinois and Kansas going into Sunday.
And you're
going
to replay your interview with Norm Roberts in the 5 hours.
Yes, 5:05. Make sure to stay tuned for that if you're just tuning in and you missed that. So there are a number of different things. I said two. There's probably a number of different things we could spin off of that interview and turn into talking points and even full-on segments. But he talks about being in Bill Self's basement as a staff while Bill is taking calls from different people, coming out of a room and then saying to the group, all right, we're staying in Illinois.
Yeah.
And he'd go back and talk to somebody else and say, we're going, we're out, we're going to Kansas.
Oh, man.
And just to imagine that scene, and obviously it'd be great to follow up and say, Bill, who'd you talk to? You know, go down the list. Who'd you talk to this time, and what leading it this way and then the other way? I'm with you, though. I think that Norm, in terms of the storytelling and the detail, I couldn't have asked for better than that one. But what did you take away from that? That it was that back and forth, if you take him at his word. And I think even Bill has been on record of saying, number one, he said it was a really tough, really emotional decision. And that it came down to the wire. What did you take away from that?
First of all, I think if you hadn't been to an Elite Eight, won a couple of Big Ten titles, knew the talent you had coming or you had on campus, plus what you were bringing in with Villanueva and such, I think because of all that, it made it really difficult. I think if Bill Self would have not won a Big Ten title and maybe bowed out in the round of 32 twice, I think the decision would have been a lot easier.
Of course.
It would have just been, well, heck yeah, I'm leaving. I think Bill probably to himself said, this job could be one of the best jobs in the country. And I think he was basically proving that. I think Lon Kruger proved that a lot by getting that kind of talent in that you can compete for national championships. Lou Henson had some of those, obviously, with that 89 team and 84, et cetera. But, yeah, I think it was tough for Bill because – I think he realized how close he was. And while you understand what Kansas is and you're going in to take over for Roy Williams, who is an absolute legend himself, you still had to think to yourself, right now, on paper, Illinois is the better job in terms of winning right now. Like that next season, I think Illinois was the better job. I know I told you in that interview, when you asked that and Norm gave that story, I looked at you and I'm like, why wasn't Ron Gunther in his basement? Why wasn't he at the house knocking?
Or camping in his front yard, yes, or whatever it was.
I mean, you're right across town. I don't know where each lived. I knew where Bill lived, but I didn't know where Ron Gunther lived. And it's like, why weren't you there? I mean, make Bill tell you no to your face. And I think, you know, I don't know if it's fair that we always shred Gunther for this, but maybe it is. But it's like, I'd love to have Ron on to explain what happened that day. I think that would be an interesting, I mean, you talk about a great article. If you just, that day, where you had self-explanation, now you have Norm Roberts, then you could have Ron Gunther talking about that. You could talk to the Kansas AD, whoever it was at that time, and just everything that went back and forth. I believe everything Norm said there, and I believe Bill Self when he says it was a very hard decision.
Mm. I think what's one of the interesting parts of it, when I wrote my column back in August about this is, in my opinion, the right time for Self to come back, and I did some digging around of what I could find out, and on the note of the day, it sounds like, and I was told pretty confidently, that it was made that day based on Ron Gunther's request, because when he talked to Self over that weekend, he said, I want to know in 24 hours what you're going to do.
He gave him a timeline.
And I'm not saying that swayed in a wrong way or anything, but then also there's the line in Andy Katz's article. I know we've talked about this, and we're rehashing a little bit if you listen to us and remember from back in the summer, but that he reported that it seemed unlikely that Gunther wanted to pay Self the same amount as he was paying Ron Turner, which is $1.1 million.
Oh my gosh.
And hearing the way that it was phrased by Norm Roberts, it puts me in a place of like, what if Gunther just said $1.5 million, $2
million, yeah,
we'll find the money, here it is, don't even think twice, and maybe that goes the other way. Yeah. If it really was that much of a 1 hour it's this, 1 hour it's that, what if there was no, there were no holes to poke in Illinois' stay sell,
right?
Then what
if
it goes? Maybe it goes a different way. I don't know. I know that in reading some other stuff that in the years that follow, Bill credited or talked about, you know, a conversation with his dad that he had that maybe would have put him in a position to be motivated to go to Kansas, because number one, it got him closer to his father and his mom who were in Oklahoma City. It was an easier trip for them to be around him more often. I don't think his dad was in the best of health.
I think his wife wanted to go back home too.
I had heard that as well.
Cindy, I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
After knowing that I dated his daughter in sixth grade, that she's like, we got to get the heck
out of here.
You did? Yeah.
You never told me that.
I mean, as much as you could date somebody in sixth
grade. Well, yeah, you gave her candy hearts.
Yeah, you go to skate land and hold each other's hands. But
I held her hand.
Breaking Piper's the reason that Bill Self left.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Jeez, Dirk.
But I think there was a line. And look, storytelling does come into play and things that sound good and whatnot. But I think there was something where he goes, you know, his dad kind of challenged him and said, hey, if you don't want to follow in Roy's footsteps, that's fine.
Oh, wow.
As like a challenge to Bill in that kind of sense. But
let me throw a separate angle at you. Try to picture yourself at that time that you're Ron Gunther. Bill Self has never been to a Final Four. Bill Self inherited, Norm Roberts said it, one hell of a team.
He did.
From Lon Kruger.
He did.
Obviously, on the flip side of that, he's bringing in five-star guys like D. Brown. I don't think Darren was a five-star. He was a four.
He was
probably
a top 100.
Top 100.
Villanueva was a top 10 surefire five-star.
So he did know that he would be coming here. So I guess in that sense, it's easy now to know what Bill Self has done and to know what Bill Self is in terms of one of the best coaches that's ever coached, in terms of winning, et cetera, and recruiting, and put it all together. But, you know, Ron Gunther didn't have that at the time, right? He didn't know for, you know, in other words, what I'm saying is you could see where Gunther might say, well, let's see, he's won with Kruger's recruits. I don't know that I want to pay him the highest, let's say, you know, top five payroll or coaching salary in the country, because I don't really know yet if Bill is going to do this with his own players. Now, again, that's easier now to think because we saw what that D. Brown crew did getting to a championship game.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen what Bill Self has been able to do at Kansas. But at the time, maybe Ron Gunther, maybe there was some hesitation to say, well, what if I go out and pay, like, think of Lovie. I mean, how much did we overpay Lovie Smith? Horrendously,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Maybe Ron, I'm not trying to stick up for Gunther here, but the thing that I would have made the decision if I were Ron, there was something special about Bill Self. The first day I met him and interviewed him, I could tell right then that I would play for Bill Self. Now, Lon Tay doesn't mean anything in all of this, except to say that my first character thought of Bill Self is, this guy's a stud. This guy gets it. He understands it. Obviously knows how to coach. He won at a big level with Tulsa even before he got to Illinois. So I've always kind of wondered that, you know, like I'm trying to picture what Ron Gunther was thinking at the time. But certainly, I don't know that anything could have stopped Self from going to Kansas. I'll put it that way.
And yeah,
maybe $2 million does.
Maybe.
But I don't think anything stops him from going.
And maybe it was a situation that just the emotions played itself out. But regardless, I saw that, Ryan. Everything is easier in hindsight, but Piper's house is still getting egg tonight. LOL from Ryan. Oh, boy. Okay. Fair is fair is fair.
I love it.
That was great.
What time are you going to be there, Ryan? I'm sorry.
If I had the hotkeys in front of me, if I had the pun, if I had the drink.
Right.
Hold on.
Well, what Kyle wants to talk?
If you go to the...
You know what number it is?
It's at the bottom. You have to go to a different page. It should say hotkeys.
Hotkeys. We got drink in there.
Fun
what?
And drink.
I say we drink and then listen to Brad.
We're slowly getting the buttons back.
For Ryan, for Lon.
I wouldn't egg your house, by the way. I would just either soap it or TP the hell out of you.
Soap it.
We used to do a lot of soaping.
Is that it? That was a thing?
Oh, yeah. We'd take soap and like on all the windows.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and then we got caught one time, and the next morning at 5 a.m. Well, my mom and dad always said, that's fine, but if we ever get soaped, and one morning I was up at 5:30 in the morning with a bucket and a towel going around to every, and we got a lot of windows out at that house in Patterson, and I was going around cleaning windows. Mom's like, these are the best windows I've looked in a long time. Ryan's just kidding, wink, wink.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan, I'll meet you at 9:30.
Okay. To the weekend, to an Illinois-Kansas matchup that we can't wait for, to a great interview both with Chester Frazier and with Norm Roberts, to any other reason out there.
This drink is to pipes, man. You killed it on that interview.
I appreciate it.
Happy hour.
It's not very loud, is it? Of course, I'm going deaf, so.
No, it wasn't as loud. But... Give it more gas, he said. So I did. Do we have time for Brad?
Let's play it a little
Let's play a little bit of Brad.
We can kind of sneak into the 5 hour, right? Right into the Norm Roberts interview?
Yeah, that's a good call.
I'll sit here with you tonight.
All right, let's see.
I got to go buy some toilet paper.
Brad Underwood. Soap. What Here else, we go. Let's get to.
Oh, Ryan's bringing the Busch Light. Oh, hell, this is on, man.
It's going to be a party.
This is on.
I might come out and help you.
Yeah, I was going to say. Derek's out there having a Busch Light while we're soaping his house.
My wife would probably appreciate the soap more than the eggs.
Right.
But, all right, Brad Underwood spoke to the media. Let's get you a little bit of that before we get out of here. Here is your Illini head coach.
Exhibition 2, we're obviously going to get a great test. We're really excited to be helping the people of Maui and Lahaina and that island. Obviously, it's something that has been a huge part of college basketball for decades, and we want to make sure that we're doing a little bit to help them. It's obviously a destination place where a lot of fans, a lot of teams go, and they have enjoyment for a week, 7-8 days. Kansas is scheduled to play in that event this year, and obviously things have gotten gotten changed because of the devastation over there. So really, really excited to be a part of this. Huge thanks to all of our fans who have bought tickets and shown up for this. My thanks to Bill for coming back and for wanting to come back. And you know, it's been a long time since he's stepped foot on State Farm Center floor. It was not that when he was here, but
Dr. Michael
it's obviously
Slosser, director of the University of
special.
Illinois
I'm a big,
Training
big fan of,
so I'm very positive
our Illinois history,
and
he's a big part of that. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's done a remarkable job at Kansas. He's continuing to do that as the number one team in the country. So it's a great opportunity for us to do some good and a lot of positives for Maui. And in the meantime, we know we're going to get a lot better from the basketball side of things, as we did a year ago when we scrimmaged them. And so it's exciting. I think it's going to be a day that'll be will be fun. I think it'll be fun for both teams. I think it'll be fun for our fans. And I'm just honored to be a part of it and have our program be a part of it.
With Bill coming back, it seems like your friendship has helped build a bridge, essentially, like Gordyville, and then him coming back for this. How's that feel, and what do you hope this return looks like for him?
Yeah, I hope he enjoys it. I'm pretty sure he will. I think he had a great time at Gordyville in our Coaches versus Cancer event. You know, we had 1,500 there that night, and he came back. I think it meant a lot to him. He came back a week after winning a national championship, and you know, there was a lot of parades, I'm sure, and celebrations that he could have been at. And he chose to come back and support Coaches versus Cancer, but more importantly, come back to a place that he had a lot of success at. So I hope he enjoys it. I hope it's fun. I know it'll be the basketball side of it's the basketball side. We'll all get something out of that. But I hope he gets to reconnect with some friends, and I hope he's extremely well received here in terms of our fans and appreciative of the job he did here, which was spectacular.
Competitors like to compete. Is there any element where you have to tell your guys, I don't know, pump the brakes a little bit because it's an exhibition, or do you let them run?
No, you want to find out. You know, I mean, we try to practice really hard every day so that we're in go mode all the time, and we know who we got coming in. We know they're good, and we knew that last year. You know, you're looking. We're still searching. We're still trying to figure everything out, and I'm sure Bill is. He's got a lot of new guys as well. So we're far from a finished product, but you get to find out against, as I call them, real dudes. And you know, we know what they stand for, and you know what Bill's program's about. So. Yeah, it's full throttle, and you know, you try to go and learn as much as you can playing against great competition.
Marcus Domas showed some nice things against Ottawa, some versatility. Has that continued in practice?
Yeah, he's very cerebral. He plays at great pace. He's got a lot in his bag.